RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, fellow listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo holding a meeting to discuss Papua. KPK monitoring Setia Novanto's ethics trial. Government studying pros and cons of joining TPP. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo held a limited cabinet meeting to discuss Papua at the presidential office in Jakarta on Thursday. Based on an agenda published by the Presidential Press Bureau, President Joko Widodo would lead the meeting on Papua at around 4 p.m. Papua has been in the news recently with the ongoing investigation into contract negotiation of Papua's biggest copper and gold mining firm, PT Freeport Indonesia. The local union of U.S.-based mining giant Freeport-McMoRan. The issue has implicated top Indonesian officials, including House of Representatives Speaker Setia Novanto. Acting Corruption Eradication Commission KPK Chief Taufik Rahman Ruki said that his institution monitors Setia Novanto's trial at the House of Representatives Ethics Council, MKD. According to Ruki, the KPK would currently leave the case to the MKD. He added that KPK would continue to monitor the case, although the Attorney General Office had conducted an investigation into Setia's case. In response to the question related to the Attorney General and Prasetyo's call to KPK leaders asking for help to investigate the case, Ruki said that he wasn't aware of the call yet. The MKD is currently in the process of prosecuting an alleged ethics violation committed by House of Representatives Speaker Setia Novanto. The trial was a follow-up of Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Sudirman Said's report against Setia, who allegedly asked for Freeport's share by misusing the name of President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla. Indonesian government is studying the potential advantages and disadvantages that Indonesia might experience if it decides to join the U.S.-led Trans-Pacific Partnership TPP. Deputy Minister for International Economic Cooperation, Rizal Afandi Lukman, said at this office of the Coordinating Economic Minister in Jakarta that one of the TPP's components under review was a chapter related to state-owned enterprises or SOEs. Rizal said that the TPP agreement did not stipulate any special treatment for SOEs. Thus, he also said if Indonesia joins the trade pact, the state-owned enterprises will be on the same level as private companies, both local and foreign. Being a TPP member would require Indonesia to first report, I should say, his state-owned enterprises to allow for better competition in procurement activities. Indonesian government claimed that the Directorate General of Taxation Performance is currently in accordance with the desired SIMT. Fiscal Policy Agency Chief at the Finance Ministry, Suhasil Nasara, said that although the tax revenue target for 2015 has not been achieved, the important thing is that the reform process is still ongoing. Nasara also said that several programs planned to be continued by the government, including increasing tax compliance, improving taxation data, and tax intensification. Nasara added that the tax revenue target, which many claimed to be unrealistic, will be evaluated periodically. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The city of Surabaya's Chapel will see its first central business district worth around 3.8 trillion rupiah or around $292.3 million, whose construction is expected to commence in January 2016. The new central district in the second largest city in Indonesia will be developed by state-owned contractor PT Waskita Karya Realty Waskita Realty in collaboration with the PT Darmo Permai. The office part and international scale apartment will be named 88 Avenue. Waskita Realty President Director Didit Omar Priyadi said on Wednesday, December 2nd, that Surabaya has a huge potential because it's Indonesian gate in the eastern part of the country. The city is also the center of logistics supply. The recent entrepreneurs in Lombok, Sumbawa had met with 100 Australian travel agents in Melbourne recently. They involved in a promotion mission with the Tourism Minister and Indonesian Tourism Promotion Agency. They present their potential five-star hotel accommodation spreading throughout Singgigi, West Lombok and Mandalika, Central Lombok. Head of the Cultural and Tourism Service of West Nusa Tenggara, Lalu Muhammad Fauzal, said that the people of Melbourne are highly interested in the five-star hotel accommodation option, including boutique hotels. The Tourism Ministry Promotion Mission, led by Deputy Assistant for the Asian Market Development, Vincent Jemadu, received a positive response from the Kainus APT Ltd. Melbourne Director, Sita Ismet. Indonesian government has now prioritized people with disabilities, women and children as the number one community in various fields such as education and health. So violence against children and domestic violence often occur in some regions across Indonesia. It is in contrast to some developed countries such as Canada and Australia that have prioritized people with disabilities, women and children in various fields. That was stated by Minister of Women's Empowerment and Child Protection of Indonesia, Yohana Yambisa, to RRI in Jakarta on Wednesday, December 2nd.
Kanada, Australia, di mana-mana saya keliling penyandang disabilitas.
In Canada, in Australia, everywhere I travel around, people with disabilities, they become number one by those countries. Women, people with disability, children, they are the highest level of attention by the government. But Indonesia, no. We assume those women and children below as number two. I see violence happening in everywhere against children. Some people trade the young children. The domestic violence are still visible everywhere, especially people with disabilities. Many parents are crying because their children do not have access to education, health, and etc. Furthermore, Minister Yohana Yambisa hopes that in the future, Indonesian government will prioritize and pay attention to the rights of people with disabilities, women, children, because many of them have quality above average. She also said the women's issue and children are an international issue, so that the Indonesian government has to fight to elevate the rights of children and women in the world level by doing coordination with the government, private sectors, religious and community leaders, and other stakeholders for the Indonesian advancement. The last item, free market, which is well known as ASEAN Economic Community AEC, will be held at the end of 2015. Political observer of Indonesian Science of Institute LIPI, Trinuke Pujastuti, after discussion of ASEAN Community Strategy Understanding to Media at LIPI's building in Jakarta on Wednesday, said that Indonesian people should be important part of the free market area of ASEAN Economic Community. Even she said Indonesia should be able to become producer of goods which can be used by the people of ASEAN.
Kalau kita bicara tentang ini sebenarnya ada dua sisi kalau dari perspektif hasil penelitian kami.
If we talk about ASEAN Economic Community, actually there are two sides of physical investment of LIPI's research, preparing the business community and general community. The business community is how to compete. It means if we can compete, we require national and international standardization. The general community means that there is an awareness in which we have become a great nation. We are not a consumer, but we are a nation of manufacturers, so that they can participate. One of their participations is to become an important part in regional manpower. In addition, Trinuke Pujastuti said the LIPI has recommended the Indonesian government to be ready to face ASEAN Economic Community at the end of 2015. Firstly, the president should be the main starter of ASEAN Economic Community. Secondly, the coordinating Minister of Economy, Minister of Trade, Minister of Industry and the National Standardization Agency should coordinate to formulate policies. Thirdly, it is to build the strategy to strengthen the competitiveness by improving the quality of products. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Well, listener, entering the reform era, Indonesia keeps expecting the presence of exemplary figures, which in turn can inspire and encourage birth of qualified human resources. However, to accelerate the development and catch up with the developed countries, Indonesia needs adequate capacity to support its human resources. Many factors may play a role in creating the needed human resources. One of them, or perhaps the most dominant one, is a model figure. This means that he or she can show his or her good characters and deeds that may be best exemplified. For these needs, people often take a model from outside, mainly related to the performance and morality of the leader. Does Indonesia lack of leading figures to emulate? Of course not. Excellent leaders that can be emulated exist anywhere. We can see the figure of the leader at home, informal and formal one from the bottom level to the top leaders. However, the most widely publicized figures are those who are willing to resign as a form of accountability to the public. A recent example is Sigit Priyadi Pramudito. He resigns from his post as the Director General of Taxation at the Minister of Finance of the Republic of Indonesia. The reason why he resigned is that his 2015 tax target, it is not met until the year end. With a lot of assessment of the performance of the Directorate General of the Taxation, Sigit has shown that he is not thirsty with position and power. For Indonesia, the standpoint taken by Sigit Priyadi Pramudito makes it an exemplary figure in the realm of new leadership in Indonesia. What Sigit has decided deserved being maintained and passed down to the next generations. Thus, it is expected that such Sigit action may come into sight any time, and it shows praiseworthy attitude when facing a variety of problems. Humans have a very strong instinct to emulate. Therefore, every nation needs a role model for all good things, especially for Indonesia, with the population of about 250 million people. The big number will not mean anything and can only be a threat if in fact there are more unqualified people, not only their capability or expertise but also their moral integrity. Of course, the same case applies to other countries as well. This will have an impact on the sustainability of the world where we live together. Being aware of it, the world should unite to create a conducive environment for the growth of the new and future leaders. So we can imagine if the world is led by people who are not greedy and selfish. Hopefully, this is not only a dream. Listener, that was a commentary with the title Sigit is a new model of leadership in Indonesia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, we'll meet again with me, Steve, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on December the 3rd, 1967, when Christian Nitheling Bernard performed the world's first successful human-to-human heart transplant. Christian Nitheling Bernard was a South American cardiac surgeon who performed the world's first successful human-to-human heart transplant. He performed the first human heart transplant operation on December the 3rd, 1967, in an operation assisted by his brother, Marius Bernard. The operation lasted 9 hours and involved a team of 30 people. Patient Louis Washkansky was a 54-year-old grocer suffering from diabetes and incurable heart disease. Bernard later wrote, "For a dying man, it is not a difficult decision, because he knows that he is at the end. If a lion chases you to the bank of a river filled with crocodiles, you will leap into the water, convinced that you have a chance to swim to the other side." The donor heart came from a young woman, Denise Derval, who had been rendered brain damage in an accident on December 2, 1967, while crossing a street in Cape Town. After securing permission from Derval's father to use the heart, Bernard performed the transplant. Rather than waiting for the first heart to stop beating, his brother, Marius Bernard, urging Christian had injected potassium into her heart to paralyze it and render her technically dead, but whole body standard. 20 years later, Marius Bernard recounted, "Chris stood there for a few moments watching, then stood back and said, 'It works.'" Washkansky survived the operation and lived for 18 days. However, he succumbed to pneumonia as he was taking immunosuppressive drugs. Though the first patient with the heart of another human being survived for only a little more than 2 weeks, Bernard had passed a milestone in a few fields of the life-extending surgery. The next event was in 1984, about the Bhopal disaster. The Bhopal disaster, also referred to as the Bhopal gas tragedy, was a gas leak incident in India, considered the world's worst industrial disaster. It occurred on the night of December 2nd until the 3rd, 1984, at the Union Carbide India Limited, or the UCIL Pasita plant in Bhopal, Madhya Pradesh. Over 500,000 people were exposed to the methyl isocyanate, or the MIC gas, and other chemicals. The toxic substance made its way into and around the shantytowns located near the plant. The cause of the disaster remains under debate. The Indian government and the local activists argue that slack management and deferred maintenance created a situation where the routine pipe maintenance caused a backflow of water into an MIC tank, triggering the disaster. Union Carbide Corporation, or the UCC, contends the water entered the tank through an act of sabotage. And the last event was in 1992, when the International Day of Disabled Persons was proclaimed. The annual observance of the International Day of Disabled Persons was proclaimed in 1992 by the United Nations General Assembly Resolution 4703. The observance of the day aims to promote an understanding of disability issues and mobilize support for the dignity, rights, and well-being of the persons with disabilities. It also seeks to increase the awareness of gains to be derived from the integration of persons with disabilities in every aspect, including political, social, economic, and cultural life. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome back with me, Steve, in The Focus. Today's focus, entitled AEC, is expected not to cause conflict. So, stay tuned. ASEAN Economic Community, or the AEC, will be applied soon by in the end of December 2015. Indonesia should be able to anticipate this by preparing itself to face free trading along with the Asian Economic Community, or AEC. It was said by a member of the House of Representatives of Indonesia, Tantowi Yahya, in Jakarta. According to Tantowi Yahya, if Indonesia is not well prepared, the AEC will cause conflict. He told not to let Indonesia to be flooded by foreign products without gaining the benefits. In addition, the Golkar Party politician said that AEC does not only affect economically but also socio-culturally. Even it can emerge conflict, clash, or cultural damage. Tantowi admitted Indonesia's preparation in facing the AEC is very low, even though it is believed that Indonesia will be the main market for the various products and services from the ASEAN member countries. The AEC will be participated by 10 ASEAN member countries with their 600 million of total population, or 9.5% of the world population. 43% of the population in the AEC is Indonesia. So, there is no wonder that Indonesia will be the big main market for goods flow and investment. Tantowi explained that the AEC is not only for selling goods and services, but also professional labors, including doctors, lawyers, accountants, and many more. Therefore, if Indonesia is not well prepared, the AEC will cause a labor conflict, as Indonesian labors are not better than the foreign ones. Tantowi Yahya, which is also the vice chairman of the first commission of the House of Representatives, said that there are numbers of big challenges for Indonesia in facing the AEC, namely the high number of the underemployed and the low number of new entrepreneurs to expand the job opportunity. Meanwhile, a member of Indonesia Chartered Accountants, Ito Warsito, said the ASEAN Economic Community 2015 will be a short-term formality because there are still many internal problems which have not been accomplished yet by the ASEAN member countries. The AEC benefit can be felt a long-time term, which is not only focused on goods flow but also the labor flows. Besides, Warsito said that the AEC is a synergy among the ASEAN member countries' governments to make a policy on labors that will freely compete in the regional scale. Not only Indonesia, but also Singapore needs to formulate the labor policy. Warsito further explained that human flow will not occur in the short term because there are so many local rules among the countries, not only in Indonesia, but also in Singapore, Malaysia, Vietnam, and Thailand, and also other countries in ASEAN, that need to be formulated by the respective country. Warsito said, there are many rules that cause the ASEAN economic community cannot run well as planned in a short time term. However, Indonesia still needs to prepare itself in facing foreign labors, the AEC, in the future. Well, listener, that was Focus Today.
Listener, welcome to headline of some national media's published on Thursday, December 3rd, 2015 in Jakarta. In its headline, Tempo writes about Micro, Small and Medium Enterprises, UMKM, ready for ASEAN Economic Community. ASEAN Cooperation Director Ina Hagenintias Krishnamurti said micro, small and medium enterprises UMKM are ready to ASEAN Economic Community AEC. Ina Krishnamurti said there were no more talks on UMKM in international forums, as in the discussions, many states believe that UMKM could survive and contribute to the government. Ina also praised UMKM in Japan. She said Japanese UMKM have become part of international market. Indonesia, on the other hand, is still worried about UMKM when the country entered international market. UMKM should be able to support themselves. Meanwhile, Jakarta Post writes about GKI, or Indonesian Christian Church, Yasmin seeks win-win solution. The prolonged dispute over the Indonesian Christian Church, Yasmin in Bogor, West Java may have a silver lining with the alternative solution to expand the church into a multifunctional building, yet the struggle of its congregation continues as the Bogor City Administration has instead insisted on relocating the church. Church spokesman Bona Sigalinging said that the congregation had considered the proposal for the multifunctional building, dubbed the Binaka Building in reference to Indonesia's diverse society, and projected to accommodate not only GKI or Christian Church Yasmin, but also various interreligious activities as the best solution to settle the dispute. We conclude today's headline from Republika. Indonesia, Australia established educational cooperation as its headline today. The Indonesian Minister of Education and Culture, Anies Baswedan, has visited Canberra, Australia, to discuss Indonesia's seriousness in cooperating with Australia in the field of education. The minister had a meeting with about 200 Indonesian people and students at the Indonesian Embassy in Canberra on November 29th. The minister advised the Indonesian students to foster and promote the spirit of struggle, entrepreneurship, and leadership, and develop a network and learn to become expert in their respective field of study. Baswedan hoped that students who have completed their education and gained work experience in Australia will return to Indonesia to develop the nation. Listener, that was the headline.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesian President Joko Widodo held a limited cabinet meeting to discuss Papua at the presidential office in Jakarta on Thursday. Acting Corruption Eradication Commission KPK Chief Taufik Rahman Ruki said that his institution monitored Setia Novanto's trial at the House of Representatives Ethics Council (MKD). Indonesian government is studying the potential advantages and disadvantages that Indonesia might experience if it decides to join the US-led Trans-Pacific Partnership (TPP). Indonesian government claimed that Directorate General of Taxation performance is currently in accordance with the DSRSIM. Fiscal Policy Agency Chief at the Finance Ministry, Suhasil Nasara, said that although the tax revenue target for 2015 has not been achieved, the important thing is that the reform process is still ongoing. The city of Surabaya's Japa will see its first central business district worth around 3.8 trillion rupiah, or around $292.3 million, whose construction is expected to commence in January 2016. Two recent entrepreneurs in Lombok, Sumbawa, have met with 100 Australian travel agents in Melbourne recently. They involved in a promotion mission with the Tourism Minister and Indonesian Tourism Promotion Agency. Indonesian government has now prioritized people with disabilities, women and children as the number one community in various fields such as education and health. Pre-market, which is well known as ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, will be held at the end of 2015. Political observer of Indonesian Sinop Institute LIPI, Trinuke Pujasuti, after discussion of the ASEAN Community Strategy, understanding to media at LIPI's building in Jakarta on Wednesday, said that Indonesian people should be important part in the pre-market area of ASEAN Economic Community. That's just a brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Buru Island in Riau Islands province. So, stay tuned. Listener, Buru Island is part of 249 islands that are owned by Karimun Regency in Riau Islands province. According to the story, Buru Island is a floating island. Perhaps, before it formed as an island, Buru united with Johor Land, Malaysia. Then the island called Buru Island because in the past, became a favorite place for hunting wild animals in the forest such as lemur and wild boar. Apart from the story, nowadays, Buru becomes one of foremost destinations in Karimun Regency, especially religious, historical, and natural tourism. The access to go to Buru Island is easy. From Tanjung Pinang, the capital city of Riau Islands province, you can take ferry to Tanjung Balai Karimun Harbour. From Tanjung Balai Harbour, you can continue the trip by boat to Buru Island, which takes about 45 minutes. Here, you can enjoy the natural beauty of Buru Island by surrounding the island with ojek or motorcycle taxi. The tariff is relatively cheap, depends on the distance. Visiting Buru Island, you can do heritage walks in the historical sites. One of the sites that can be visited is Padang Cemetery. The cemetery is believed as the resting place of a commander of Riau Lingga Kingdom named Padang. He was known as a brave man and has a high magic. From the center town of Buru, the cemetery can be accessed by ojek or motorcycle taxi. The distance from the street to the cemetery is about 3 or 4 kilometers. The area is surrounded by a variety of trees. Before entering the area, you will pass through the Yellow Gate Bridge, Padang Cemetery Heritage Site of Buru Island. Since the discovery of its existence, the cemetery is visited by many people, both local and tourists from Singapore and Malaysia. Dear listener, besides historical tourism, you can also visit to natural tourism in Buru Island. Here, you can visit a beautiful beach, namely Tanjung Ambat Beach. It is located in Teluk Dalam Village, Lubuk Puding. The location is not far from harbor, around 2 kilometers. The landscape of the beach is slope. Its coastline extends about 2 kilometers and a wide stretch of white and clean sand. The area is suitable to be an area of various beach sport.
Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Buru Island in Riau Islands Province. We'll meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening, and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Miscellany, and I'm Hernita. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to the International Disabilities Day. Stay tuned. International Disabilities Day has been commemorated annually on December 3rd since 1992. The day is commemorated every year to raise the awareness and mobilize support for the crucial issues concerning disabilities' inclusiveness in society and development. In Indonesia, the International Disability Day is interpreted as a form of recognition of disability, affirmation of the commitment of all nations, and to build awareness in order to achieve independence and well-being of disability. Associated with International Disabilities Day, according to Bandung Mayor Ridwan Kamil, who is also a lecturer at the Institute of Technology Bandung ITB, a city must be able to comprehensively provide rules for persons with disabilities who will be applied in several sectors. Firstly, is to eliminate the discrimination in employment sector or workplace or office. Secondly, is the right of accessibility in the public facility sector, such as government offices, schools, post offices, terminals, and train stations. Thirdly, is the right of accessibility is the sector of public accommodation, such as hotels, restaurants, and shops. The last is the sector of telecommunication facilities, which are required to provide a special system for the deaf and the mute. Nowadays, the disability persons have been able to prove that they can compete in the professional world as a worker or entrepreneur. The Ministry of Social Affairs will give award to persons with disabilities as effort to increase social welfare and fulfillment of the rights of persons with disabilities in 2015. The inauguration award is held to coincide with the International Disability Day, which commemorated annually. The government probably should care about the disabilities regarding they have similar rights and obligations like other Indonesian citizens. Well, listener, that was Miscellany featuring International Disability Days. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.
Meet again. again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment introducing you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to a dance music singer, namely Tatis. The development of dance music community as many local concerts and international dance music helped increase the passion of music in the country. This kind of music, encouraging those who listen and able to enliven the atmosphere. It is the reason why Tatis promotes this kind of music. Based on Tatis' great love for dance music, she is optimistic to be able to develop dance music in Indonesia. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song of dance music entitled Kesepian. Listener, her name still unpopular in the country's music world. However, the singer, whose real name is Anastasia Anatria Ratiasih, or familiarly called Tatis, has a different style. Tatis, who was born on March 29, 1987, used the dance music genres as her choice in the music work. In 2014, she has released the single Whatever and Kesepian. Tatis is a new talent of music in Indonesia who has potential to enrich the music industry in the country. She has a variety of interesting side of life, such as writing the lyrics of song with casual style. Another talent she has, that she is able to translate what she experienced in her daily life into a song. the story about love and hope she created lightly but full of optimistic. Well, listeners, let's listen to the next song entitled Whatever. Happy listening.
This lady here is fantastic. Gonna make it like G. Better call the police.
Drop it. Drop it. Boom.
Saat yang kau tunggu, inilah diriku. Suka tak suka, mau tak mau, bukan berlagu.
You think I'll break down crying? Well, sorry, I'm not dying.
Call me all my girls, hit the club and let's get flying.
Sayang, oh sayang, kamu meyakinkan, kamu bilang ayo kita. Jalan kamu putuskan cinta kita, sungguh berdebar.
Sempat ku terjatuh merindukanmu, sempat ku berpikir semua berakhir. Tapi ku sadari ku tak sendiri. But whatever, ku kibaskanmu.
As a singer and songwriter with full of dynamics, she radiates appeal when singing and acting on stage. Tatis has a musicality. Ulang. Tatis has a musicality that is passionate and expressive, representing urban women with problems of love and life in the dynamic big city. Produced by Dipa Barus, Tatis launched a new creativity. She released a single called Oh La La. The single tells about a woman who eager to feel the hope and the passion of love. The music was made by Dipa Barus by combining several genres of dance music and make it sound light, catchy, and pop. Listeners, to conclude our program for today, well, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Oh La La and Work It Out. Happy listening, and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.